Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We can read from the New Living Translation. And my main scriptures tonight will be from verse 13 to verse 16. From verse 13 to 16. But just to provide some context or background to the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 13 to 16, I will read very quickly a couple of verses from verse 1 going down. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, that's Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And so, in this first verse, we understand, we've given a little bit of a background or setting to what the Lord is going to do or teach as to how Matthew recorded it. You say it was a day when the crowds were coming to hear what Jesus has to say. And Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. Obviously, there were some crowds around. But Matthew wants us to understand that his disciples gathered around him. Matthew is giving us now a little bit more detail that showed a more intimate relationship. He said he began to teach them, his disciples. And from verse 3 going down, the Lord speaks to his disciple or teaches his disciple about what we call the Beatitudes, the principle, the character of the kingdom. Blessed. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Said, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He blesses those people, he said, blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. He blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. So be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So this is the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, what he gave to his disciples. Matthew would have us to understand that there was a great crowd that was coming to Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples, he selected 12 that were considered his disciples or the main group. And the Bible said that he taught them the character of the kingdom. He wanted his disciples to understand that this crowd that's coming, there is going to become a day when I will leave you. There's going to become a day when you will have to be the ones who influence this crowd. And you cannot make a mark on the crowd unless you have the character of the kingdom. So it must be noted that Jesus never intended to avoid the crowd. That's the reason why he came. He's always interested in the crowd. But he understands that his disciples' impact on society will have to be based on character, not gift or gifts. And so he takes his disciple and he begins to teach them about the character of the kingdom. Now, let's understand. He lists from verse 1 going down to verse 11 about the character of the disciple, singular. What the disciple must be, not if. He must be what Jesus taught them in what we describe as the beatitude. And so, the reason why Jesus came into this world was for the entire human race to grant them salvation. So any man who believes on him will be saved. And so he's always interested in the crowd. But Jesus understands that there is no value in ministry if character is not aligned with what the gospel message teaches. There's no value in the Christian life if the gospel cannot influence character. And so he wanted his disciples to understand that they must become what he's teaching here. And I know, and when we, I know within this, sometimes within the Christian realm or within our churches, I know sometimes the emphasis that's placed on being gifted is such a powerful one, where our young folks and young Christian saints, persons who are newly baptized, and even sometimes persons who have spent quite a while in church, they are motivated by the gift that they have. But Jesus understood that gifting is important, but if we're gifted and have no character, it will mean that you will not have the ability to influence. And so he took his disciples apart and began to teach them about the character of the kingdom. One writer, I remember reading in the past, one writer said this was his manifesto. It's like a political party. You're running in an election and you're going to present to the people what you want to do as the leader. So you have to have a manual, what they call a manifesto, to present to the people how you're going to carry out all that you have promised. And so Jesus wanted them to understand that his kingdom, which was coming upon the earth, is a different kingdom. It is not a kingdom that speaks so much of the human might or power. But these are not necessarily encouraging or what you would look for in a manifesto or what is the principle or the manual of the king. Blesses those who are poor. Who wants to be poor and realize they will realize their need for him, for the kingdom is theirs. Blesses those who mourn. And so, his value system, the Lord's value system, the Lord's teaching, it cuts very deep. It opposes the system of this world. And the first thing that the disciples will have to understand is that the teaching, the Beatitudes, will cut against the very human nature, which has a propensity to promote self and dethrone God. And so this, it sounds to a believer, when we read this, sounds Christian-like, and that's good. But can you imagine that these men possibly were looking to Jesus to deliver them from the bondage of the Romans who were suppressing them at that time? And for one who seemed to have the answer to the issue of the time, these words were no simple or perhaps weren't even encouraging words. They were challenging. And so, and we will be going through the Beatitudes in the God's willing in the coming weeks. But let's look at verse 13 to 16, which is the main scripture for tonight. To the disciples, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Tonight, I want to speak a little bit about being theoretically correct and practically dull. Theoretically correct and practically dull. When we look on the Beatitudes of Jesus, what he taught his disciples, we understand that it is a revelation of the supreme matter in the kingdom of God. And that revelation has to do with character. Character. it is evident that there is a subtle pride at times within our assemblies or in our church circles, where we boast on having the truth. We will boast and on being right, theoretically correct. We have a sense of pride, a sense of self-righteousness. We have the truth, and others are in error. But most of us, when we evaluate ourselves against the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ as it relates to the disciples of the kingdom, we recognize that practically speaking, we're lacking. Truth, having truth is important. We should strive for truth. We should study the scriptures. We should search them out to find the truth that's within them. But having truth and not allowing truth to influence our character, then that truth becomes worthless. Because truth must influence character. It is in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ within that discourse on the Beatitudes that he is revealing or enlightening the minds of the disciple to understand the value of character, that the power to influence the crowd that's surrounding them lies within the character, not necessarily the message or what they are saying, but within the character of that disciple. And that's why the Lord placed so much emphasis on explaining what the character of the kingdom is. A sermon is no sermon until the preacher is living what he is saying. I don't care how much Greek, Hebrew, or how much that person can explain the text. I don't care how excited, how much charisma is involved, how excited the congregation is, if the character of that individual is not or does not represent the kingdom of God, and then the message itself will not be able to influence the crowd. Character speaks very loudly. It is a person's value system. It is what you are, not what people say about you, but who you are. That's your character. It's not your reputation. People can say anything about you because you can misrepresent yourself. But who you are is what your character is. And so That's the supreme matter in the kingdom of God. Character. Our character must be what God wants it to be. In the first verse that I read, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." You are. The statement, you are. Not you have, but you are. And that's one of the pride, which is very subtle, and a dangerous practice within our assemblies, where we will boast on having, but we are silent on being. We have salt, but are we salt? Jesus did not say that you have. He said you are. We are the salt, not we have salt. You are the light of the world. Not we have light. We are the light. The influence that we exert, or the influence that we exert upon society, is an influence of what we are. It's the character within the disciple of Jesus Christ. We are salt of the earth, and we are light of the world. We cannot influence people by what we say to them unless we are what we are saying. If we are not what we are saying, and then there's a phrase that I heard many a times. It said, I cannot hear you because your attitude is speaking louder than your voice, something to that effect. In other words, people generally see our attitude, our character, and they see it and hear it more clearly than what we are saying. I hate to say this, but oftentimes I will just take notice when there's an election of some sort, and I will listen to some of the leaders and what they are saying during the campaigning process. And sometimes, while they have good intentions, some have good intentions, sometimes you see very clearly beyond what they are saying, because the attitude and the character speaks loudly and clearly much more than what they are voicing. And that's why the character is important. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." And now one of the first things we recognize is that salt is aseptic. In that salt, meaning it's free from contamination caused by harmful bacteria, viruses, or other microorganisms. Salt prevents the spread of corruption. But salt never changes what's corrupt to incorruption. It does not have the power or the ability to do that. Now, the disciples, Jesus said, "We are the salt. We are not going around dispensing salt. We are. Not that we have, we are. We should be free from contamination that's found in this world. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. We're not contaminated by the world, because we are in the world to influence the world. We stop the spread, or we prevent the spread of corruption by our influence. That's the value of the character of a believer, of a disciple of Jesus. We're free from sin, free from the contamination, the impurity that's within this world. Not by what we say, but by who we are. We are the salt. It is said that salt is one of the basic essential for human life. It's also said that the world cannot endure without salt. That means disciples are no less essential to the well-being of the earth. Our influence in this world ought to make the place, or this world, a better place. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Why? Or how? By the influence of the disciple. Because we carry the character of the kingdom of God. We are representatives from heaven. We allow heaven to touch earth. We are the salt. Now, it is, or should be noted, that the Lord made it very clear, very specific in what he said to them. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Of the earth, light of the world. Now, the disciple is operating here in this materialistic realm. But his responsibility as the salt of the earth is to influence the world, to influence the earth, rather, where the church or the disciple will prevent at time the spread of corruption by the character that gives value to the message that the disciple brings. If you know, let's look on one scripture. And possibly, let me look on it from the King James Version. Verse 19 of the same text. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And don't worry too much about what I'm saying, but I just want to share a principle. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach. In other words, your message has no value until you have obeyed. Action, have to do, not theoretically correct, but you can make the influence that you ought to make when you have obeyed, when you have put into practice what the Lord commands. So that's one principle we have to look on or observe. So you are the salt, you're the salt of the earth. That's what we are. But to check the spread of corruption, where we see where the influence of the kingdom of God is needed, the salt ought to be there. We're not called to excuse ourselves from the world in an attempt to keep ourselves spotless. Oh, we are so holy. Holiness is not an excuse. Sorry about that. Holiness is not an excuse to isolate ourselves from the world. We are called like the salt of the world. We have got to get involved, Jesus says. See that crowd. You will have to influence that crowd. I'm going to show you an example, but I have to teach you what you need to become so that you can influence that crowd that's coming. I can heal them, I can deliver them, and I can set them free. But receiving all these miracles and gifts and not having an impact on their character means little or nothing. Hello, I'm sorry for those who value gifts, that they are more important than character. He said, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? What good is salt if it has lost its flavor? The state of salt must remain the same. It's pure. It's not publicly pure and privately impure. Salt is salt. And if salt has lost what is called its saltiness, the tang, the properties, the characteristic, if it becomes contaminated where other living microorganisms are found in it, it's useless. It has no value. In other words, it does not have the power to influence. Jesus says, it is impossible for you to make it salty again. It's no longer valuable. It cannot serve the purpose. He said, it will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. We have lost the ability to influence. possibly have the truth theoretically correct, but pays no interest in being practically correct. Would not allow the word and the challenge of God's word to make the difference in our lives. See, the truth that we receive from Jesus Christ, as the scripture tells us that he was full of grace and truth, the truth that we receive sets us free. And it allows us now to be conformed to the image of Christ. Free from sin and free to do. Free from the world and free to become the blessed are those who mourn. Pure in heart to become. That's what the truth that we receive. The truth that we receive. There's one thing about the truth that comes from Jesus, and this is how you know you're handling it right. It's that when you get truth, truth will influence you to be humble. A man who gets this message of the gospel, the truth, and is not humbled by it, it's because he does not understand what he has received. He said, no one, he said, you are the light of the world. Or the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now, we understand from this text now what the Lord is saying to us is that he's speaking now to his disciples as being the light of the world. Because when the Lord sees the people or the disciples of his kingdom, he sees one unit. He says, we are the light of the world. And he likens it to a city on a hilltop that is exposed. You travel for miles and you will see that city. You cannot hide. It cannot hide itself from the world. It's exposed. That's the believer. Now, it's one thing for us to understand here now that Jesus did not say, like the salt, that we have light. He said, we are the light. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ should burn deep in the lives of God's people. And now, some have incorrectly tried to explain this text where they're from a scientific perspective, where they will use the sun and the moon. And the sun being the source of light, and the moon as the object where the light from the sun shines on, and the moon itself just reflects the light. But Jesus did not say that we are reflectors of the light. He said we are the light It is something that's happening within, not just the surface of the moon, not on the exterior. It's coming from within. We are the light. We ought to praise God for that. We ought to lift our hands and bless him for that. Because you don't have to have a relationship, so to speak, if you're just a reflector of light. All you have to do is just to walk in the path of light, and then you will reflect light. But when we are light, it means that now the believer, the message within the believer is burning so brightly until from within the character now becomes an influence, not to the earth, but to the world, the cosmos, to the people. Now he says, now no one, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Nobody does that. The purpose of a lamp is for it to provide light. Nobody does that. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house, whether they use the light or not. It gives light. And so is the life of a believer. Because we are the light, we don't try to hide ourselves from the world. Cover ourselves, just keep ourselves safe from the world. I've said it before, holiness is not an excuse to isolate ourselves from the world. That's self-righteousness, and it is not of God. But the character that's within the believer, the message that this great gospel has done, what the message has done, how it has influenced the believer to become, to be the light. Now that light is burning so brightly in the believer that he has to position himself on a lampstand, as was used in the text, to influence the world. We are the light of the world. We cannot be light and darkness at the same time. Light cannot be hidden. The purpose of light is to shine in darkness. When we have light, we won't stumble. We will see the path. We will be able to walk without falling. That's the value of light. And now, Jesus says, now, what is the purpose of this character that we have? What we are, the salt and the light, what is the purpose? To be practically correct. Why is it important for us to be practically correct and not theoretically correct and practically dull? Why? What is the purpose? Verse 16 tells us, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, just like the light. Let your good deeds we have to be so careful when we talk about deeds and we talk about works, because the language most often is misrepresented, where every time you mention deeds and works in church, most people aligns it with salvation. Now, we cannot work for our salvation. It is a gift from God to anyone who believes. But it is also true that anyone who believes will do. James said, show me your faith, and I will show you my faith with deeds. Because there's one thing about the message of Jesus Christ is that it empowers the recipient to perform. You cannot have the message of Jesus Christ and don't perform deeds. Someone will say, sure, salvation is not about works, right? But the message of Jesus has so much to do with works. Hear what he says. Let your good deeds shine. Not my words, Jesus' words. Your good deeds must be seen. Shine how? For all to see. Why? Because it's going to give you much more power to you influencing this world more than what you have to say. Your deeds. And why? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. What's the good deeds? It conveys now the qualities that set out in the Beatitudes. It has to do especially with the righteousness. The righteousness of life, which is the characteristic of every disciple. Let me go to a few verses here. Let's look on so especially with the righteousness of life, which has to do with the characteristic of the God's disciple. I think it's verse 6 of the same chapter. So he says now, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses, verse 10, he said, God blesses those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Peter says now to the Lord's disciples, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. You are the light of the world. Be careful how you live. What you do, how you conduct yourself, practical Christianity amongst your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if you're careful, if you're shining the light, If you're being the salt, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, there, it is not just making this world a better place or providing influence to this world. But the Lord wants us to know in verse 16, and I'm closing, he wants us to understand that when we do, that everyone will see. What will happen? The end result is that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Everyone will see when we do, and everyone in the end will praise your heavenly Father. So the desired effect that's based from our character and how we influence this world. Brethren, you see how important it is for us to be practically correct, is that it brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to those outside, the glory to the Father as we influence those outside the kingdom. God's name is glorified. It's not. It's very dangerous, rather, to be theoretically correct and practically dull. Character is a supreme matter in this kingdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ is delivered to us to influence our character. It has the ability to change us. If we are recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should be changed people. We cannot be light and darkness at the same time. Those are two opposing forces. Light shone in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. We cannot be salt and lose the saltiness and still remain as salt. Jesus said, it is impossible. You're useless. That salt is useless. It must be thrown out. It cannot even be used for anything else. It must be thrown out and will be trampled by the feet of men. Let's be both theoretically correct and practically correct. God bless you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you. There's a desire, a great desire, and I understand the need to influence this world. Like salt, we can't change anyone who is in a corrupt state to make that one pure. That power lies within Jesus. But we have the ability to influence such a one that they may receive the message of the kingdom and become one with God. God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus.